Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. It's Thursday, the 9th of April. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up here, the moment a drug dealer from Tunbridge Wells is arrested.
Officer with taser!
Open the door!
Show me your hands! Show me your hands! Get out now!
Kent Police has been praised by national inspectors.
The public in Kent can be confident that they have a good police force that deals readily with the crimes that are occurring.
And we hear from a retail worker as figures show abuse towards staff remains high.
I've had colleagues who have been shouted at, some have been spat at, things thrown at them. Potatoes, cans of food. It's just not good enough.
But first, the mum of a young man who was stabbed to death in Whitstable has told us she won't rest until she gets justice for her son. Ashton Harrington was found in Belmont Road in the town in the early hours of Good Friday. The 19-year-old's mum, Camille, has been speaking to our reporter, Jerry Warren, who joins me on the podcast now.
It's just every parent's worst nightmare, isn't it, to be told that something like this has happened to their son. How was Camille when you spoke to her?
Yeah, it was very difficult for her and the family who were with her. But she kept herself together and she's very focused on justice being done here. But obviously the overwhelming sensation for them is one of grief. They can't understand how a life could be so callously taken. And they obviously want answers for that.
And she actually described, a lot of people would say it's like living in a bad dream, but she said she felt like she was in some kind of Netflix documentary, and everything must be very surreal for her at the moment.
Indeed, almost an out-of-body experience, like you're watching someone else's tragedy unfold, as you say, on some sort of Netflix crime drama. I don't think they've really grasped, you know, that he's gone. They think he'll come through the door. And of course, he has a little baby girl as well. So there's a double tragedy there.
Absolutely. Ashton was incredibly young. He was 19. But as you say, he was a father. What did she say he was like at becoming a dad? He was only 17, wasn't he, when he became a father?
Indeed. Incredibly young, obviously. And some might say immature to be a father. But apparently he adapted to it very well. He doted on this little girl. He had an amicable arrangement with the girl's mother, the baby's mother, and they were all getting on very, very well. Obviously, Ashton's family gathered around the little baby as well, and they intend to continue that. As I said, Ashton says that he lives on in that little girl. His spirit lives on in her.
Absolutely. And a fundraiser has been launched to support the family. Did Camille mention as to what that means to them? I mean, an awful lot of money has been raised in a short space of time.
It does. And I think that suggests, you know, the overwhelming feeling and sense of loss there is and support for the family. You know, they're not a well-to-do family. And obviously Ashton, at his young age, didn't have life insurance. And obviously they're facing pretty hefty funeral costs and they want to give him a proper send-off. But people have rallied around and that fund has done remarkably well in a very short time.
And in a further show of grief, but also solidarity, I guess, a lot of Ashton's friends and family are going to gather tomorrow for a balloon release, I understand.
That's right. I think that's a way of them coming together on the local recreation ground, just round from the corner from where they live. And I think it'll be a time for reflection. And I'm sure there'll be lots of hugging each other and trying to remember Ashton in a positive way, despite this disaster that's happened to them.
Finally, Jerry, Camille mentioned that Ashton had sent her a lovely message on the night that very sadly he died, saying that he loved her. I mean, she's going to cherish that message, isn't she?
Absolutely. And, maybe that's something we should all think about, telling people we love them more often, because you never know in life what's going to happen, although these are extreme circumstances. But she will treasure that message. But it was something he did quite frequently. You know, they had a very, very close relationship.
Now, the police investigation into Ashton's death is continuing. They're trying to trace two men as part of their inquiries. The pair are believed to have links to Herne Bay, Whitstable, Canterbury, Sittingbourne, Ramsgate and London. Raids have been carried out in Herne Bay and Ramsgate, but so far, no arrests have been made.
Kent Online News.
This is one of our most read stories on the website. A private school in Ramsgate with around 500 pupils has closed after going into administration. St Lawrence College had been struggling with financial pressures and recently paused plans to merge with Dover College following a backlash from parents. It's now shut to most students with immediate effect, but bosses say those in Year 11 and Year 13 will still be able to complete their exam studies. A drug dealer from Tunbridge Wells has been jailed after police found him trying to destroy a mobile phone by flushing it down the toilet. Police attended Sabinson Selimani Marge's property in Scotsway last October as part of ongoing inquiries into cocaine supply in the area. Body-worn footage from officers shows the moment he was arrested and his property searched.
Stay there! Show me your hands! Officer, what's that?
Open the door!
Show me your hands! Show me your hands! Get out now! Get out now! I'm security.
I'm going on your back.
All right, mate, you're under arrest at this stage, all right? Into your phone, mate.
Located in this black rucksack, there's these items that are placed here, including scales, some cling film, other small scales, sellotape and some tissue, block of white powder. An envelope containing ID cards, two mobile phones.
Large quantity of cash.
A block of cocaine was later discovered inside his backpack. The 28-year-old has been sentenced to 2 years and 4 months. Four people have died while trying to cross the channel by small boat. At least 42 others were rescued off the coast of Boulogne in northern France. Officials say two men and two women were swept away by strong currents while attempting to board a vessel. One person also suffered hypothermia. A person's been treated for the effects of breathing in smoke following a fire at a flat in Faversham. Crews were called to tackle the blaze in Benstead Grove on Tuesday night. It's not clear how it started. Meantime, a person suffered burns to their arm following a fire at a house in Dover. The blaze is thought to have broken out in a garden on Coombe Valley Road and spread to the property yesterday afternoon. Two other people were treated by paramedics after breathing in smoke. A care home in Deal has been put into special measures after some patients were found to have been given too much medication. Inspectors who visited St Anselm's nursing home also reported harmful cleaning products were left unattended. Bosses have been told to make significant improvements and say they've already taken steps to address the findings. Now, Kent Police has been praised by national inspectors for the work they do in schools to tackle knife crime. A report's been released today showing improvements in the overall efficiency of the force. It's highlighted a scheme to identify and educate those at risk of carrying blades. Well, Kate has been speaking to Roy Wilshire, who's an inspector of constabulary.
The report that is out today has shown some real improvement with Kent Police, which I'm pleased to say. This is the third time I've actually inspected Kent Police in my time as an inspector, and this is their best report yet. They've shown improvements in a number of areas, whether that's how they treat their workforce in terms of training and wellbeing and inclusivity, how they respond to phone calls, so 999 and 101. 101 is the more general background. They've improved there. They've improved the positive outcomes for their investigations, which is good. Neighbourhood policing is good and how they tackle knife crime. And as I say, good leadership, good governance. There are still a few areas to improve. There always is with any organisation, but we point this out in policing. So how quickly they get to an emergency call still needs to improve. It has improved somewhat, but still needs to improve more. how they recalled their use of force. It's an admin error, but really, if they don't record use of force properly, they don't know whether they're doing it properly or not. And also how they identify vulnerable people with partners. But yeah, we'll always find some areas for improvement in forces when we inspect, but overall, I am pleased with Kent's performance.
And the areas, you know, as you mentioned, every constabulary will have areas that they need to focus on. Again, are you going to be giving any guidance, or will it be left up to sort of the leadership teams to see how they make improvements before the next inspection?
So we keep in touch. I keep in touch with the chief constable. I talk to the chief constable at least once every quarter. We have a force liaison lead that is in constant contact with the force, looking at areas of improvement. Also, if things start to go slightly wrong, we can point that out and help forces to identify areas that might go not quite the way they want, so they can improve in future. So we keep in constant contact with the force, look at their areas for improvement, look at how they're improving, look at their overall performance. Although we report every 2 years, this is an ongoing process.
For the for the general public, you know, people like me who don't really have any insights into how these sorts of things work, should we be taking great comfort in the fact that Kent Police, you know, they are making improvements, and then overall it was a really positive report, and should it go some way to sort of put confidence back into the force for the public, so that they know that if they become a victim of crime, that it's going to be dealt with appropriately and quickly?
Yes, I think that public in Kent can be confident that they have a good police force that deals readily with the crimes that are occurring. There's always a lot of demand for the police. There's always a lot of resourcing and prioritisation that's required. But Kent does this in a really good way. They are, as I say, their investigations are improving. Need to do a bit more work on vulnerable people with partners. They could always attend 999 calls a bit quicker than they do at the moment overall. But I would say they will answer the phone quickly. They'll investigate the crimes quickly. They work hard on preventing crime as well in their neighbourhoods. Their neighbourhood policing is good. So, yes, I would have confidence in Kent Police at the moment.
Meantime, schools in Kent identified as being in a knife crime hotspot are also set to receive extra training to help divert children from serious violence. It's part of a £1.2 million support package from the government. The scheme involves mentoring for high-risk students and introducing chaperones.
Kent Online reports.
A meeting's being held later to discuss progress on repairs to Galley Hill Road in Swanscombe. You may recall that part of the A226 collapsed in a landscape almost exactly 3 years ago. While residents and business owners say they've been suffering with traffic diversions, it's estimated it's going to cost around £50 million to fix it. A young girl from Dartford has been diagnosed with a rare form of juvenile arthritis. 3-year-old Luna Patterson suffers a fever, rashes and joint pain. The condition requires fortnightly infusions and monitoring. Her father, Stuart, is running the London Marathon to raise awareness and money for the Evelina London Children's Hospital. Meantime, a Kent man who's been battling an aggressive cancer has praised the support he's received from a local charity. Lawrence Fox was told he had pancreatic cancer in 2024 and is hoping to be one of the 10% of patients who survive for 5 years or more. The 68-year-old receives help from Pilgrim's Hospice in Canterbury and says without them, he'd have had nowhere to turn. Now, polls are open today for a Kent County Council by-election in Thanet. All major parties are standing for the seat in Cliftonville. It's up for grabs after the previous councillor was jailed for coercive behaviour towards his wife. Voters have until 10 p.m. to cast their ballot. Next on today's podcast, and a Kent retail worker says it's frustrating to see the level of abuse towards staff remains high. Recent figures from the Retail Trade Union show 78% of surveyed workers here in the southeast were verbally abused last year. More than half were threatened and 12% were actually assaulted. Now, Roger is a retail worker in the Ashford area and he's been speaking to Kate.
I've experienced, some of my colleagues have experienced different levels of abuse from verbal abuse where a customer can't find a product, or just being outright rude, or if they've been waiting at the self-scan area and the red light comes on and a colleague doesn't come over quick enough, They get sometimes get really annoyed and start sort of gesturing, why aren't you coming over here? You know, I'm a customer, I should be served first. It's just a general sort of attitude of some customers, not all customers, of some customers towards us in store. I've had colleagues who have been shouted at, some have been spat at, things thrown at them, potatoes, cans of food. It's just not good enough.
How long have you been working in this sector, Roger? Is it a long time?
I've been in this sector sort of 14 years, and it's really taken a turn for the worse since COVID. I think COVID was the starting, one of the main starting points for this. It's always been there, and they should just call it theft because it's theft. Because if I went into someone's house and left with something, it would be theft from a person's house. So by calling it sort of shoplifting, it seems to lighten the impact, but it's theft. So since COVID, it's really been exasperated with the attitudes of customers towards retail workers, just a sheer lack of respect, which no one should have to face on a daily basis.
And it seems like, as we said, this is something that we've spoken about before, and there does seem to be a lot of messaging these days around, being respectful to shop workers and reminding customers that this is a place of work and that everybody has a right to feel safe and respected in their place of work. But is there any sort of sense of frustration because that message just doesn't seem to be sinking in?
There's a massive frustration because whilst the messaging is clear, I think the messaging needs to come from above. I think the government need to put some new legislation in to protect retail workers and send out a strong message that it's not acceptable. I know in Scotland, the messaging is clear. It's now a standalone offence to physical or verbal abuse a retail worker. I think they've got rid of the £200 threshold for theft, and persistent offenders should be put on a register. We need to get some clear legislation that that theft from stores is not acceptable because it affects everybody and it affects the customer too. Because ultimately, with the losses, shops have to increase their prices fundamentally, which affects everybody.
The government say the new Crime and Policing Bill includes protection of shop workers.
Kent Online reports.
Contractors have been appointed to cut down the masts of an iconic shipwreck off the coast of Sheppey. The SS Richard Montgomery sank in 1944 and still has explosives on board. It's going to cost around £9.5 million to remove the masts, which will reduce the strain on the ship's deteriorating hull. Work is due to take place within the next 12 months. A Kent police officer is going to be running the London Marathon in memory of his colleague who died in the line of duty. PC Bradley Cork suffered fatal injuries following a high-speed crash on the A20 near Swanley last month. Now PC John Rogers is hoping to raise £5,000, with some of the money going to support the Air Ambulance charity. Plans for a new music festival in Kent have been given the go-ahead. The three-day Love on the Lees in Folkestone applied for a licence to supply alcohol during the event from the 23rd to the 25th of May at the Lees Bandstand. It's been approved, despite concerns from residents about noise levels. And finally, Mimi Webb is going to be on our sister radio station KMFM later to talk about her new music. The Canterbury-born singer has recently released the deluxe edition of her latest album with 5 brand new tracks. She'll be on the hit list with Jack.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Chatham Town have won the Isthmian League Women's Cup final. Jess King and Amelia Woodgate both scored hat-tricks as they beat Bowers and Pitsea 7-1 in Essex last night. Chatham scored the first two goals inside the opening 3 minutes and were dominant throughout the game. And Kent rugby player Rosie Galligan is expecting a baby with her partner Marnie Packer. They were both in the England team who won the Women's World Cup last year. Galligan, who's from Westmorling, announced the news on Instagram and says a little one due in October. Many congratulations to the pair. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.